I'm really good friends with both. I've grown up through the amateur program and system with Frankie Gavin, and I've known Kell Brook for many, many years. So I wouldn't want to give, you know, I wouldn't want to say either way which one I want to win or what I think we'll win, because I think that's unfair for me. But what I will say is I think it'll be a great fight. Two very, very skilled fighters. Frankie, obviously, you know, a former amateur world champion, a very good southpaw, fantastic on the back foot. He really is. And Kell Brook is a proven world-class elite level fighter. So, you know, it's a great fight for the fans. But like I say, you know, I'm not looking forward to it personally. That's the reason why I'm not going down there to be live. I don't want to see two good friends of mine go at it with each other. You know, I just want them both, praise God, to come out healthy and safe, and they both put on the best performance possible. Like I say, I owe Kell Brook an awful lot, because Kell Brook was one of the main reasons why I got through my court battles that I did. You know, it was Kell Brook who put me in touch with me barrister at the time, and I'm very thankful to Kell for that. So I owe Kell Brook an awful lot, and like I say, he supports me up and down the country, he does, Kell, and I've done it for him as well. So I just wish them both the best of luck. Frankie Gavin's a very, very good friend of mine, and someone who I've been around the world with me. So like I say, just pray they come out safe, and both of them come out uninjured and give 110% performance. But I think it'll be a really good fight. People are slating the fight a little bit, saying Frankie Gavin's not ready, or it's this and it's that. It's a great domestic clash, and with two fantastically, you know, stylistic boxers. I know people are going, Frankie Gavin was poor against the likes of Curtis Willis and stuff like that, but Frankie always raises his game, as he has as an amateur, when the opponents are really, you know, as they get better, and Kell Brook's done the same. He's done everything asked of him, so I think that all roads lead to it being a really good fight, maybe tactically very, very entertaining for the boxing purists to watch. I think if you're looking for, you know, blood and guts, then you're in the wrong one for this one.
Yeah, Kell's talked about he hopes that Frankie will come for a fight and not try and spoil it. But from Frankie's point of view, what does he have to do, do you think?
I don't think Frankie will come and spoil. Frankie's got a big heart, and he'll want to win the title. Listen, no one's going to win the title running all night. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, I think the game plan will be going in is to... I know everybody will say that the game plan is to frustrate someone like Kell, but I think it's absolutely impossible to frustrate an Engle fighter. I think they're the most unfrustratable fighters in the whole world, because, you know, you can imagine what they go through in camp, in sparring. They spar the most awkward people in the world. So Frankie's awkwardness is not going to pose Kell any problems, you wouldn't think. But then Frankie's game plan, he's got to be looking to, I don't know, maybe maintain a high-paced bout. I know that he's slightly taller than Kell when you look at the pictures and stuff like that, but I think, you know, when you see them on fight night, you'll see the difference there in the sizes and stuff like that. Maybe that could play a part in the fight, but, you know, it'll be definitely an interesting fight. Frankie, for me, is the pure boxer in this fight, but by no means is Kell Brook a slouch in the boxing department. Kell's a very, very good thinking fighter. He attacks from angles. He's the puncher of the two. So I think it's fair to say Frankie might be the nicer boxer on the eye of the two, the purer boxer, and Kell Brook is definitely the stronger of the two. I think that's a fair statement to make, and doesn't slate either of them, to be honest. I just think that's purely stating facts. But like I say, I think Frankie's got to show us something that he hasn't shown us before, and Kell has to show us, you know, he has to be on the top of his game. He really does.
You had a great view of Kell's last fight. How impressed were you with him there? And when you look at this welterweight division, just how good do you think Kell Brook is? Eddie Hearn says that he thinks he's the best of the welterweights right now.
I think Kell's a brilliant fighter. He's a world-class fighter. He's proven that with wins over the likes of Sean Porter, Vlasov Shevchenko. That win was fantastic. And he's done everything asked of him. The fighter, John Joe Dam, was outstanding. Like I said, you're not going to give an Engle fighter too many problems with awkwardness, and John Joe Dam had always given people fights because of his awkwardness and how hard he was to hit, the jittery southpaw kind of style and the movement. Kell just dealt with him. He just went out there, he landed the right hand at will, and he just got rid of John Joe Dam pretty easy, to be honest. And like I say, there's levels in boxing, and Kell's a level above that kind of opponent, which he's proved on many of occasion. It's only when Kell doesn't turn up focused, or when he feels like, you know, this is going to be an easy night's work, does he encounter any kind of problems like we've seen, you know, in the first Carson Jones fight and things like that. So for me, I just think once Kell is fully focused on the fight, and you know, also the fact that he's now champion will raise his game another level, as you've seen the John Jordan fight. He could have, if that was, say, a final eliminated against John Jordan, I believe that could have been made a difficult fight. Mm-hmm. But because Kell is now world champion, his mindset and his goals will all become different. And it just takes someone, when you win a belt, to another level in boxing, I believe. And he, like I say, he's a world-class fighter, beats everyone putting in front of him. And it's just about progression now. I think it's a little bit of a bold remark, but it's Eddie's job to say he's the best welterweight in the world. I mean, you've got Floyd Mayweather there, for God's sake. But at the same time, what I will say is he has the ability to become one of the best welterweights in the world. He really does. I mean, I slightly edge towards Kell beating Amir Khan, but I think he'd have to perform out of his skin to beat Amir. It's a fight that I envision happening, because I think the money will determine that it happens. But I just think, in my scenario, the way I'd play it out with Kell and Amir would be, Kell would be behind on points, and then he would finally catch up with Amir at some stage. But like I say, it's all that fantasy stuff with boxing. You can say this can happen, that can happen. No one ultimately knows, really. You're not going to know until fights happen. It's no different with Frankie and Kell. That's why, for me, this fight's really good. No one knows if Frankie's going to come out, run, box, do what he's going to do, work on his skills. No one knows. Frankie could come out for us, you know, just jump at Kell, run at Kell and give it everything he's got for 6 or 7 rounds. We just don't know, and that's why it's so exciting, boxing.
You've been part of one of the very big domestic fights in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Is there something special about a big domestic bout, you know, headlining a bill like this?
There is. Mine was a little bit different because it had history. And you know, when people know my dislike of the other fella and how I was and the way things are. And like I say, the previous fight was so good. The second fight didn't live up to it, but, you know, It's very, very tough when you go into a rematch and the first fight has been so hard on both combatants' body in the first fight. It's very hard to live up to it in the rematch. You see it in things like, you know, nothing ever lived up to Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti 1. Nothing ever lived up to Morales Barrera 1. Nothing ever lived up to Bo Holyfield 1. The rematches are never as good. And because both fighters, to be totally honest, they don't want to go there again. So what they'll do is they just make things a little bit easier on the body. Whereas a fight for the first time, a big domestic clash, and you haven't faced each other before, usually the first one will always be the best one. You know, and I think, like I say, Kell and Frankie, I don't think Kell would have underestimated Frankie. And I know for 100% fact that Frankie isn't underestimating Kell. So, you know, this fight could bring out the best in both. It's all just about the tactics and who gets them right. What's Kell's tactics going into the fight? Is his tactics just to seek and destroy? Because if they are, then I believe that will be the wrong tactics with someone like Frankie Gavin, because you'll just leave yourself open to counter punches all day. I think for someone like Kell, you'd have to break someone like Frankie down gradually. You know, you'd have to put a good jab on him. You'd have to be hitting him to the body. And things like that. But then also on the plus side for Frankie, to beat someone like Kell is, I think, a good start. Get in his head early that, you know, he's not the boss in there. Score your shots, move, give him angles, and just, you know, try and box your way around him. I don't think it'd be very hard to envision anyone in the welterweight division bar Keith Thurman, Floyd Mayweather, standing with Kell Brook. I don't even think Floyd Mayweather would. He choose to box him and pot shot him. Someone like Keith Thurman, maybe at a push, Timothy Bradley or a Mathise or a Maidana. Someone like that could actually stand with him because they're big power punches. But Kell is so physically strong and powerful at the welterweight division. You know, I know people look at sizes and the height differences and they'll say, oh, he's not that really big, but his size on fight night, he is. Kell's a serious, serious sized welterweight on fight night at the weigh-in, he looks completely different to how he looks in the ring. I mean, I've seen him at weigh-ins look like he's going to fall over, but then I've seen him in the ring and he's just like an animal, a caged tiger. So don't look at it at the weigh-in, look at Kell fight night when he gets in that ring, and then you'll understand, you know, how a big welterweight looks like.
Of the rest of the card, what in particular will interest you on Saturday night?
Blackwell and Ryder interest me an awful lot. Hearing that Kevin Kingpin Johnson has been training with Peter Fury for the last 5 weeks is very, very interesting. Makes the fight a lot more interesting. I mean, I don't think he's going to beat Anthony Joshua, but I definitely think he's going to last more than four rounds.
His talk seems to be making it a bit more interesting.
He's a promoter's dream, and he's always talked like that. The only thing that shocks me this time is that he's willing to say, if I get knocked out, I'll retire. Now, I've never heard him say that, and I've heard Kevin Johnson talk an awful lot of nonsense over the years. I mean, I think he's the only guy who talks more nonsense than me. But coming out with that kind of talk, he really does believe that he's prepared really well. I listened to an interview this morning on my way to the gym with Peter Fury, and he says, I won't put my name to a fighter that I haven't trained for a full camp for 12 weeks, but what I will say is he's come to my gym and I've helped him for the last 5 to 6 weeks and he's done okay. And he's in the best possible shape he could be for a 5 to 6 week camp with me. So I was very, very interested to hear that because I respect Peter Fury's opinion. I think he's a very good coach. And he knows his boxing. He knows his onions, mate. He really, really does. So that adds a little bit of emphasis on the fight. You know, I do think that is a factor in the fight. Saying that, you know, although you've trained and you've prepared right, what will his mindset be when Anthony Joshua hits him for the first time? No matter how much training you can't change that mindset. And for me, he might just go into... I hope he doesn't... But he might possibly go into sparring partner mode once that first right hand lands, because Anthony Joshua, for me, is probably the quickest and most dangerous heavyweight in the world. I would actually go as far. Him and Wilder are on the same kind of plateau. I believe Anthony Joshua is faster than Wilder. Maybe Wilder hits a little bit harder than Joshua, but saying that, he can really, really punch, mate, and he... Until you see Joshua up close, you don't realise actually how quick he is. He's lightning fast. So that's a good fight on the card. Who else? Kevin Mitchell-Linares is a great fight. Crossroads fight for Kevin. He's got a really... To make or break time for Kevin, I think this is his third world title fight. Third time lucky, hopefully, for him. Great fight. Then you've got Selby versus Gradovich, which has gone under the radar for me and hasn't really been pushed enough because Gradovich is a really good fighter. They call him the Russian-Mexican. Now, anyone who's labelled something like that must be able to fight, but I've seen him on a couple of occasions, throws an awful lot of punches, can punch also. So Selby's going to, you know, there's going to be none of this laying on the rope stuff and the Floyd Mayweather. I know they like to label him the Welsh Mayweather, but listen to me, mate, there's only one Floyd Mayweather. You cannot be lazing on ropes against a fighter who can punch and who is sharp. And this Gradovich is dangerous, so... I think Selby wins, but I think it's going to be an awful lot closer than people are giving credit for. It's just a really, really well-stacked bill. I mean, there's also a British title. There's a British title fight in Blackwell and Ryder. There's another one that I'm forgetting. Cardle and that, because I've seen the shoving and the, you know, the nonsense at the weigh-in. Once again, something that happens with my daft things. So I think Cardle could be in a good fight too. You know, that kid looks really hungry. And I've seen that kid against other opponents. I've seen him beat somebody. I think he knocked someone out. I'm not too sure who it was. That was on Sky 2. Like I say, the bill is stacked. I mean, anyone who says you're not getting your money's worth, 15 quid. It's a very, very good card. Stacked. And, you know, hopefully we're going to see three British world champions at the end of the night.
And just to finish, I think we're a month away from seeing your return to the ring. Just how eager are you to get back out there?
Yeah, I've missed boxing more than anything. You know, people are asking me, what's going on with this acting stuff? And listen, it was a one-off. And I can't believe I've actually done it now. I'm just happy to be home, spending time with my family, under me coach Dave again. And I'm just happy to be doing my day-to-day thing. I still love boxing. I'm a boxer first and foremost. I love fighting still. I get no greater buzz than walking to the ring on fight night. So I understand that I'm not an actor. I'm a fighter. And, you know, I'll just keep going from there. June the 26th is when I get back in the ring at the Echo Arena. And I'm just looking forward to it. You know, like I say, this has been the longest I've ever been out of the ring since I've been professional. I've been out of the ring. It's going to work out about 8 months when I get back in the ring finally. And like I said, the longest I've been out of the ring is 5 months prior to this, and that was through a broken hand with injury getting after an operation. So I'm just over the moon that I'm finally, I've got a date, I'm scheduled June the 26th, and you know, I know what Eddie's like, he knows how much I whinge at him and moan and stuff like that, but he's lived up to everything that he's promised me from day one so far. Promised me get me a world title fight, he promised me I could box whenever I wanted to, and you know, he's stood by that, so I'm very thankful to Matchroom, to Eddie and to Barry. But like I say, I want to be busy. We're planning on getting this fight out the way. And then, you know, we'll have big news after this fight, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, ultimately all roads lead to a big world title fight before the end of the year.